14 and verse 22 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Amen. It's good to see everyone here, and we pray that you are well. If you're not well, hopefully you're not here and you're watching online. We do ask if you are sick or not feeling well, or if you've been directly exposed to someone who is sick, we ask that you would watch online and protect us. We are wearing masks, and we're doing our best to distance. We're about at capacity here in the sanctuary. We have overflow in our event center there, and some people make use of that, and anyone is welcome to do that. If you would just like a little extra room, that's fine. But we're considering the options as time goes on. Maybe we're going to have to continue with multiple services. And we've talked about that. Sometimes there are situations that happen that kind of push you the direction that you need to go. And so we are considering those options. Amen. And be praying, because it's a huge load on the staff and on the ministry team and even on the pastor to have multiple services. But it may be an answer for some of these things in the future. So Matthew chapter 14, we pick up in the middle of a chapter here, and it's just after Jesus had blessed and broke the five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 families. Isn't that awesome? And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Remember that. It's tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, that's a good word. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me that God would just help us here today? Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Reach to us, I pray. As we reach to you, God, I pray that there would be a connection with your Spirit, with your glory, with your anointing in this house, that lives would be changed, that every heart would be transformed today. Make us more like you. Call us, God. Help us to receive that calling to be everything you've called us to. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it today. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. On July 2nd, 1982, Larry Walters of Los Angeles, California, did something really crazy. You see, Larry's boyhood dream had been to fly. But he felt his dream had been stolen from him when he joined the Air Force, and his poor eyesight disqualified him from becoming a pilot. After being discharged from the military, he would sit in his backyard watching the jets fly overhead. Until one day that he just decided he was going to step out. He hatched his now famous scheme while sitting outside in his extremely comfortable Sears lawn chair. And so he went and purchased 45 weather balloons from an Army-Navy surplus store, tied them to his lawn chair and filled the 4-foot balloons with helium gas. Then he strapped himself in along with some sandwiches, some drinks, and a pellet gun. You see, he figured he'd pop a few balloons when it was time to come down. His plan was to launch his craft and just kind of float lazily up to 30 feet or so and kind of see the backyard. And after a few hours of flying over the neighborhood, he'd come back down. But you've already guessed it. That's not exactly how things ended up. When his friends cut the cord anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, he didn't float lazily up to 30 feet. Instead, he streaked up into the Los Angeles sky as if shot from a cannon. Pulled by the lift of 42 helium balloons, apparently it was over 1,000 feet per minute of rate of ascent. He didn't level off at 100 feet, not even 1,000 feet, but after climbing and climbing, he reached 16,000 feet. At what point do you think he realized, I'm in trouble? Once he was at 16,000 feet, he was afraid to shoot any of the balloons just in case he'd unbalanced the load and then he'd really be in trouble. And so he stayed there, drifting and cold and frightened. For more than 14 hours, he crossed the primary approach corridor of LAX Airport, where commercial pilots were radioing in about the strange sight they were seeing. Eventually, Larry got enough nerve to shoot a few balloons, and he slowly descended. On the way down, he got tangled in a power line, causing a blackout in Long Beach, California, for about 20 minutes. And then finally, he climbed down to safety, where he was promptly arrested by the waiting police. As he was led away in handcuffs, a reporter covering the daring event asked him, "Why on earth did you do it?" Larry replied nonchalantly, "Well, a man can't just sit around all the time." Larry Walters' efforts won him a $1,500 FAA fine, a prize from the Bonehead Club of Dallas, the altitude record for gas-filled clustered balloons, and an honorable mention in the Darwin Awards, which is a website dedicated to honoring those who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it in a really stupid way. Now, we can learn a lot from Larry. First of all, don't try this at home, okay? Secondly, we can get in a whole lot of trouble when we are bored. Isn't that the truth? But beyond that, we can learn something from Larry, because sometimes you have to step out from the comfort zone. Sometimes you've just got to be willing to leave some things behind because we've just been sitting around long enough. Sometimes you've just got to do something. And the Bible is full of stories of ordinary people who took extraordinary risks. Some of them had great success, while others failed miserably. But from our text today, we're going to look at one such Bible character who is actually both. You see, he failed successfully. He failed successfully. And so I want to preach to us on that thought, a successful failure. A successful failure. You see, Simon Peter didn't mind at all being on boats. After all, he'd been a fisherman most of his life, and he'd been in storms too, but this particular storm was a little different. This one tossed their ship, just like it was a toy at sea. The Greek word means that they were tortured or they were tormented. It was some kind of storm, not one that you wanted to be anywhere near while you were on a ship. It went from the evening time until the fourth watch of the night, which is 3 a.m. And so here it is at 3 in the morning, and they started out trying to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But now after all this, they're not even worried about the other side. They're just trying to stay alive. And then the impossible happens. Suddenly, one of them notices there's someone walking toward them. Now, they're in the middle of the sea, and they're in the middle of a storm. And yes, someone is walking toward them on the water. It didn't take much to convince them that this has to be a ghost. There's no other explanation. This has to be a ghost. And I mean, what would we think? And they cried out in terror. Now you might wonder, you know, after spending so much time with the Lord and traveling and talking with him and spending time with him, why did they not recognize that it was Jesus? But maybe they didn't because they were a lot like us. We don't recognize his presence when we're in a storm. We don't recognize his presence when we're in a storm. Because when we're in a storm, we think surely he's forsaken us. When we're in a storm, we think we've got to be out of the will of God. We missed it somewhere because now I'm in a storm and God surely is not here in this. When we're in a storm, the last thing we're looking for is for Jesus to come walking on the waves. We just want the storm to end. We just want the storm to end. Surely God couldn't be in this. Surely we must have missed it somewhere. Surely we must have failed God, and this is the judgment that has come upon us. We're not looking for Jesus. We're just looking to how we can get out of this storm the fastest. And so we don't recognize his presence in a storm, but Jesus is still Lord in the storm. And he can still walk on water. If you are in a storm today, I've come to encourage you. I pray that you would feel the presence of God reaching for you today to know that maybe you'll have to go through a few things, but he is with you and he sees you and he knows where you're at. He knows what you're facing and his presence is with you even in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Why is Jesus taking a stroll on the water at 3 in the morning? Why wasn't he in the boat with the disciples? Mark's gospel referred to it like this in Mark 6:48, and he saw them toiling in rowing. He was watching them. He was watching them. Here they are struggling. They're toiling in rowing. They're doing their best to get out of the storm. They're doing their best to stay alive. And Jesus is watching them. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, this thing had been going on all night long. He cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them. What is going on here? Why would Jesus have passed by them? What was he doing? They're in the middle of one of the scariest moments of their life. And right then, in the midst of that, they see a figure walking on the water. And it looked like he was just going to pass them by. If we study this out, we find the Greek word here for passed by them is parerhimai. Parerhimai. It also refers to the times in the Old Testament when God would appear to human beings in order to give them a message. And theologians call this a theophany. A theophany. It happened to Moses in Exodus 33:22 when God said, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." And Elijah in the first part of 1 Kings 19:11, and he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by." In each of these stories, God had to get someone's attention because he was calling them to do something extraordinary. And so when Jesus would have passed by them, it was not that he was ignoring them. It was not that he didn't care about them. He was not hiding from them. He was actually getting their attention because he wanted to reveal some things to them about himself and who he was. And it was all because he was about to do something extraordinary in their lives. The next time we find ourselves in a storm that seems like it's going to destroy us, and if it seems like Jesus would just pass us by, we need to stop and pause a moment, because it could be that in the midst of all that, he is trying to get our attention. He's trying to reveal some things to us, because the next step for us is going to take us into the extraordinary. The next step is going to open a door that we would have never dreamed could have been opened. The next phase that he's getting us ready for is going to blow our minds, and he's trying to get our attention today. Hallelujah. I tell you, Jesus comes when we least expect it. If we're not looking for him, we might just miss him. There were 12 disciples in that boat, but only one of them decided to step out. There was only one that met Jesus on the waves, but Peter recognized who it was. He recognized that voice. He recognized who it was that called out to him. He was looking for Jesus. What a blessing to be looking for the Lord, to be expecting him, amen, to look for where he's going to show up. Those are the people that get to walk on water. Now, if you notice, Peter's a little different than Larry and his lawn chair. Peter had a little more sense. He doesn't just plunge in the water, but he says, "Lord, if that's you, then command me to come to you on the water." Radical faith often seems foolish to the natural mind. It's crazy to think that Peter would try to walk on water, even if it was a calm day. Much less in a storm when they were about to lose their lives, but Peter was ready to get out of his comfort zone. Yes, the boat is safer. It's more comfortable. The water is dark, and it's rough, and it's cold, and if he gets out of the boat, there's a good chance he's going to sink. But if he stays in the boat, there's 100% chance that he's never going to walk on water. And so Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, then command me to come to you on the water." And read with me in Matthew 14:29. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Let me tell you today, if Jesus calls you to walk on the water, you don't have to worry about all the specifics. You just get out of the boat. You just get out of the boat. I know the storm may be raging around you. I know the circumstances may not be perfect. I know there may be some trouble going on. But if Jesus calls you to get out of the boat, you don't stay in the boat, but you find the fastest way out. And you say, "Okay, God, here I come. Here I come. I may sink, but if I stay in that boat, I'll never walk on water. And I want to see something extraordinary. I want to see a miracle. I want to see a breakthrough." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Peter steps out of the boat, and he does what nobody else has ever done except the Lord. He walked on water. I don't know how exactly it worked. Maybe his faith activated something in the chemicals, the chemical nature of the molecules of water in those waves. I don't know how it happened, but somehow it was like they were solid instead of liquid.
and he was able to walk, and he was able to stay on top of the waves. All of a sudden, his feet found support where they never had been before. He'd been a fisherman all his life. He'd been around the water. He'd been around boats. He'd never walked on water before, but something changed. His faith activated something, and Peter walked on the waves. Amen. There's something about faith. It activates things. It activates things in the spirit. It activates things in the natural even. Amen. If you are facing an impossible situation and you look at it and say, there's no way that this could ever add up. There's no way that this could ever work out. Don't you underestimate the power of faith to activate something that changes your world and changes the lives of those around you. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel like somebody needs to just stretch your faith a little bit. You need to stretch your faith a little here today. Come on, you, in the middle of everything we're going through, I feel like our faith has been under attack. Our faith has been under attack. But Jesus is saying, I'm still Lord in the middle of the storm. I'm still Lord in the middle of your circumstance. I'm still in control in the midst of what you're going through. And so let your faith be activated today. Hallelujah. 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 But then Peter starts, he starts thinking, oh, what have I done? He's reminded of the fact that they're in a storm. And he gets a little sidetracked. He gets his attention off the Lord. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Somebody today, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. I know there's a storm. I know you're going through some things. I know you're facing some impossibilities. But don't focus on everything that can go wrong. Keep focused on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out and caught him and says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Yes, Peter failed. Doubt took over. He was fearful. The wind got his attention off the Lord. But there are some things worse than failure. There's some things worse than failure. He could have never tried. He could have never stepped out of the boat. He could have stayed in the place of relative safety. After all, there were 11 other disciples, and none of them made that step of faith. Only Peter got to walk on water. Yes, he might have failed, but he succeeded in doing something that none of the rest would ever do because he had just enough faith to step out. And in preparing for this service today, I kept feeling like the Lord wants somebody, maybe it's several people here, specifically you need to hear this and you need to take this to heart. I feel it's a word for someone here today. You've got to step out in faith. You've got to step out in faith. Come on, you've been thinking about it. You've been considering it. You really wanted to it, but some things have been holding you back. It's time to go ahead and step out in faith. It's time to go ahead and make that step of faith. I know we'd rather be where it's comfortable. I know we'd rather stay in the boat. I know we'd rather wait till the storm passes. But God may just be allowing the storm to come because he's trying to get somebody to step out in the midst of it to do something they've never done before and see something happen that's going to blow their mind and change their way of thinking. There's more to life than just sitting in the backyard on a lawn chair and drinking lemonade. There's more to life than just playing it safe all the time. Sometimes you got to say, I'm tired of sitting in the lawn chair. I've been sitting around long enough, and I need to see something happen. I want to see the extraordinary. I want to see a miracle. I want to see a breakthrough. I've got to see revival. Is there anybody here today? There's a hunger in your heart in the midst of everything we're going through. I've got to see a breakthrough. I've got to see something change. I've got to win a soul. I've got to teach a Bible study. I've got to reach somebody for Christ. I've got to see it happen. Praise the Lord. The boat is our security blanket. It's whatever we're tempted to trust in life more than we trust in God. The boat is what keeps us comfortable. It's our comfort zone. It's something we don't want to give up, even when it keeps us from joining Jesus on the waves. What is your boat today? What is our boat? What is the boat in our lives? What is holding us back? What is keeping us from God's calling? Our fear helps us identify it. What are we afraid of leaving behind in order to step out of faith? When Pastor just said, I feel for somebody here today, you got to step out of faith. But and in your mind, you said, but what about that's the boat? That's what's holding us back. The boat could be our career. The boat could be a relationship. It could be a group of friends. It could be the status quo in life. It might even be a sin in someone's life. And they've come to comfort themselves because that's something they know. They know that way of life. They know that lifestyle. And every time things get a little rocky, they run back to what they know because that's where they feel safe and that's what they can control. But sometimes God doesn't want us to be in control. Sometimes God says, I want you out of the boat and I want you on the waves where you're going to have to look at me and say, Jesus, please help me because I'm sinking. Jesus, please help me because without you, I'm going down. But I'm going to give this everything and I'm going to keep my eyes on you and I'm going to reach out to you, Lord, and I believe you're going to reach down to me and we're going to walk on water. We're going to see a miracle take place. Come on, your fear will tell you what the boat is in our life. And leaving that boat in order to walk on the waves, it may be the toughest thing we ever do. But if we never leave the boat, we'll never walk on water. Did you know there's 500,000 people every year who go to the emergency room because they fell out of their bed? Hey, it happens. We could make up our mind. I'm too scared of storms. I'm not going to face any storms. I'm just going to stay at home. I'm going to stay in bed. I'm going to ignore the danger of the world. And while avoiding life, we could be still one of those 500,000 people who get hurt just falling out of the bed. Life is full of storms. There's no guarantee that just sitting in the boat is going to be any safer. But what if? Oh, what if? What if? Just what if we're able to walk on water? Just what if we're able to see a miracle? We'll never know unless we step out of the boat. Hallelujah. Oh, when we choose to follow Jesus, we choose to face our fears. In order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to leave the comfortable behind and to give ourselves for Him. Too many people want the comfort of being associated with living for God, but they don't want the risk. They don't want the sacrifice. They don't want the challenges that actually go along with following Jesus or reaching people for Him. But just as comfort becomes a habit, We can train ourselves so that just as comfort becomes a habit, so can stepping out on faith. Come on, there can be a shift in our thinking. There can be a shift in our response. There can be a change in our prayers. There can be a change in what we do to where used to we'd run to comfort. Now we say, let me find where I can step out on faith because that's the only way I'm going to get to walk on water. And Peter got that. One thing you can say about Peter, he was always stepping out in faith. He didn't always get it right, but it was setting him up for God to use him in a powerful way. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They say, well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist. There's other people say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks again, he says, but who do you say I am? And all the disciples are kind of, well, And Peter steps out on faith and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And reading in Matthew 16, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I tell you, Peter got it right that day. He stepped out on faith, and he got it right. Yeah. He nailed it. And he gets the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But in the next three verses, Jesus starts teaching his disciples that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem. And he's going to suffer. He's going to be killed. He's going to be raised again on the third day. And Peter steps out again. Matthew 16, 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He missed it this time. He missed it bad. Next chapter. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, the inner circle, up to the mountain to pray. And he's transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were white as light. And Moses and Elijah appear before them and talk with the Lord. And I like how Luke describes what Peter did after this. Reading in Luke 9:33, and it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. He was always messing things up. Just before the crucifixion of the Lord, Jesus tells his disciples that they're all going to be offended. They're all going to be scattered abroad. And read with me in Matthew 26, 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And just a few verses later, Peter thinks he's making good on his promise when he draws out his sword and he cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. But Jesus says, put up your sword, for all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And so they took Jesus, and Peter follows at a distance, and somehow he didn't even know how it happened, but somehow he ends up in a conversation around a fire pit, one that he wishes he would never have ever got in. And before he realizes it, he's denied the Lord three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. And when that rooster crowed, he realizes what he's done, and he wept bitterly. He was so humiliated. He was crushed. He was a failure. How could he come back from this? How could he ever erase this shame? How could he ever move forward? He was an utter failure. Later, after Jesus had been crucified and after the resurrection and after he'd appeared to the disciples and to others and after all of this, Peter's not really sure where he fits in anymore. He's a failure and everybody knows it, and that's what they're all thinking about every time they see him, or so he thinks. And so he says, you know what? I'm going fishing. I think there's a lot in that statement because Peter determines he's going back to what he knew. He just didn't know about all this disciple stuff, and he'd really made a mess of all of it, but he knew how to fish, and that was his comfort zone. That was his comfort zone. He was broken. He was crushed. He was humiliated, and so he got back in the boat. And they fished, and they fished some more, and they fished all night long, and they caught nothing. I feel like somebody needs to hear this. If all that we want is to get back to our comfort zone, and then when we get there, if we just can't get comfortable anymore, it may be that that's not where God wants us. They fished all night. They fished all night and caught nothing. And in John 21 and 4, we read, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Does that remind you of something? "Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish." And after this, John, if you read it, John looks over at Peter and says, "Hey, that's the Lord." And when Peter heard that, look what he did. It says that he cast himself into the sea. In other words, he couldn't get out of the boat fast enough. He decided, "I don't care about all of this. I've got to get to Jesus. I'm going to leave the comfort zone behind, and I'm going to get back in the will of God to do the great things that God has called me to do. Yes, I may stick my foot in my mouth. Yes, I may miss it here and there, but I've got to get out of the comfort zone. I've got to get into the place where the extraordinary happens." You know what? I just wonder today. I just wonder if maybe it crossed Peter's mind that when I get out of the boat this time, my eyes are staying on Jesus. I just wonder if he might have thought, you know, it happened before. It could happen again. I might just walk on water when I get out of this boat all the way to the Lord. But whether I walk or whether I sink or whether I swim, I've got to get out of my comfort zone because I want to get to Jesus and I want to see the miraculous. I've got to see the extraordinary. I've got to see a miracle. Come on, somebody, today you need to let faith rise up inside of you to where you're desperate. You're desperate to get out from the comfort zone. You're desperate to leave behind what used to hold you back. And no matter what it takes, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, I've got to reach Jesus. He was a successful failure. Maybe there was a time that Peter's doubts were bigger than his faith. Maybe he did take his eyes off Jesus and look at the storm around him. Maybe he did miss it a few times here and there. Maybe he did deny the Lord before he even realized what he was doing. But the failures in Peter's life set him up for what God wanted to do through him. He would have never been able to be used by God if he hadn't been through those failures. It was the failures that made him a success. Oh, come on. Somebody here today, you've been thinking about your failure. You've been thinking about the mistake. You've been thinking about the shame and the guilt that you've been carrying. You don't need to carry it anymore. Jesus has already paid the price, but you've been carrying guilt and shame. And that's what's on your mind. And you think that you can never be a success. You think you can never be used by God. You think you can never break out of this turmoil that your spirit and your mind have been in. But I've come to preach to somebody today that it's those failures that could set you up for the success. Because with God, he can take any failure and he can turn it into good. He can take any problem and he can fix it and give you a testimony. I tell you today, it could be the failure that is going to mean your success. Come on, every person here today, I want you to think of that failure. I want you to think of that shameful thing that you did. I want you to think of that thing that's holding you back. That whatever it was, it may have been 30 years ago, but it has driven you crazy ever since. I want you to think about that, and I want you to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, then you are covered by the blood, and the Lord of all heaven, God who created you, God who has all power, God who knows everything, when he looks at your life, he can't even see it. All he sees is the blood that he shed for us. Amen. So if God can't even see it, then you stop bringing it up. And every time the enemy tries to remind you about it, you say, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Devil, it's under the blood. God can't even see it. It's under the blood. God has saved me. He's washed me. He's cleansed me. He's delivered me. And it's under the blood. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody today, I feel it. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Leave the comfort zone behind. Come on, step out in faith. If you never step out in faith, you'll never get to walk on water. If you never step out faith, you'll never see the miracle God has for you. If you never step out in faith. In the name of Jesus, in the name.